Welcome to Bible and Stuff, a podcast about the Bible
and stuff.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Tanner.
And today we are talking about Imago Dei,
the image of God.
Yeah, man. I'm excited about this.
We know Latin.
Well, yes, we know Latin.
Say something else
We're
in Latin,
scholars.
Glenn. Yeah, say something else in Latin.
Je voudrais.
Pretty sure that's French.
That's French.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not French, but it sounds like you were trying to
partially French. The problem is I took 3 years of French in high school and then 2 years of French in college, and the two just became intertwined. I don't think I passed with anything higher than a B, so.
I didn't take any foreign languages have yet to this day, so I'm very uncultured.
I mean, Oklahoma is kind of its own foreign language.
Yeah, I mean, if you went there, you would need an interpreter. I think quid pro quo is Latin. Anyway, but we shouldn't have to go through the list of all the Latin words we know.
Because it ain't going to be long anyway.
No, it'd take us too long to even think of another one. Okay, well, before we start, we wanted to shout out something we haven't talked about in a little while, which is our good friends at Redbud City Coffee Roasters.
Yeah. If you haven't checked out the site or haven't checked it out recently, you should definitely hop on. They got a handful of different blends and even a sampler pack for those of you who just don't know what kind of coffee you're into. They can help with that.
They do. And I'm pretty sure they even have a new roast on there that neither of us have tried yet. But based on past experience, it's probably pretty good.
Also, might be Latin. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I'm pretty sure it's not Latin, but I definitely don't know how to pronounce it. But if you don't know, the reason we talk about Redbud City Coffee Roasters is, for one, we love those guys. We think they're making great coffee, but maybe more importantly, it helps us out. So when you go to buy some coffee, you need to use the discount code Bible and Stuff. That's Bible, A-N-D, Stuff. It gets you 10% off your order, and it helps us out here, helps us keep the lights on. It's going to help me get some acoustic foam to make my room not sound so boomy, so I don't have to record this with my head in a piece of foam.
So go there and get some beans.
Yeah, please do. Glenn, how's the chemistry with me shoving my head in this foam?
Oh, it's great.
Cone of silence.
I feel like we are interacting so well together.
I know. It's going to be smooth sailing from here on out. Well, if you didn't skip our little ad there, we'd really appreciate it if you help us out. But where we would normally do an ad break later in the show, we actually have a surprise. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to do that when it's time to reveal the surprise.
Okay. I don't know what that was.
I'm not sure either.
It was like an injured air horn. But I'll just say it's something for you, the listener. It is a giveaway with a very low barrier to entry, very high payoff if you win. We'll tell you more about it during the break.
All right, let's jump into this. As we said, we are talking about Image of God today, which I am personally excited about because I think for so long I heard this and just did not know what it meant or was like just, I don't know, slightly confused by what I thought it meant. So I think this is going to be really good to walk through.
Well, hopefully that's what we specialize in here, Glenn, is taking things that we have pretended to know stuff about for many years and then actually learning about them and explaining it to other people who are pretending to know stuff about it.
So we need to get into this now. What does being made in the image of God actually mean? Where do we start with this?
Yeah. So when we see this idea first introduced, it's in Genesis 1:26 through 28. And I think it's worth taking the time just to read really quickly. So we're working from this foundation as we continue our conversation. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So he basically just says, hey, we made these people in our image, repeats himself a few times. and there's reasons for all that. But for our purposes right now, we could ask a lot of questions about what that might mean. And we can answer, like, let's just spitfire answer some of them really quickly. Do we look like God? No. Why do we not look like God? We don't look like God because he's a spirit. He's not a human. He probably had some kind of form in the garden, and maybe that looked like us, but that's all speculation. We don't really know. But we know from the context of the rest of the Bible that God is not some old guy with a beard. He's a spirit. And we could go on and on about all the things it doesn't mean. But if we just look at the context of the verses we just read, we can see a few things that it definitely does mean. We can see a few things that the author harps on multiple times. That being, we're supposed to have dominion over the earth and over the animals in the earth, and we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it.
Okay. Yeah, so that brings a lot of light to the question, I think, because that, again, when I was growing up, I think I always just thought it meant like, oh, I somewhat look like what God could look like. Like, God has 10 fingers and things like that. But yeah, this verse very clearly puts out that, like, yes, let's make them in our likeness, and then takes the time to explain, like, okay, what does our likeness like look like and do? And it's more of an action than an actual physical attribute.
Yeah, I almost like to think about it as if you're dad was a lawyer, and so you become a lawyer to take over the family business, right? So you were made in the image of your dad. You're like following in his footsteps, kind of, right? And maybe you even have some of his mannerisms. Maybe you even have his, your dad's not a lawyer, by the way, so we're talking about some third person, but maybe you even have some of his values and his constitution. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Which we certainly have of God. Like, that's why we have a conscience. And that's why we, most of us anyway, feel bad when we do bad things. It's because that's built into us innately. But that's not where being made in the image of God ends. It also continues into this idea of dominion, which is kind of a weird word. So let's just talk about it as God making us essentially little rulers, right? He makes us as his underlings, like his sub-rulers, to go take care of his planet.
Yeah, little rulers. That's what we are. this isn't exactly the same, but I feel like that theme kind of continues on, like with the Great Commission and everything like that. Like, Jesus calls us to go out and continue his mission.
Sure, yeah. It also makes me think of the parable of the talents, if you're familiar with it, where a ruler gives these three guys different amounts of money and basically leaves them in charge of it to create, to multiply, to be fruitful with what he's entrusted them with. And then he comes back and he's angry at the one guy who just dug a hole and buried his. So, I mean, that's kind of the idea we're getting at. Like, God has given us, first of all, our bodies, but he's also given us these resources and like literal land. And if you have a family, literal people to rule over and make much of it, right? Make much of him with what he has given you.
Yeah. No, that's good. So now I guess another question arises for me out of this is, does this mean that everybody is made in the image of God, or are just Christians made in the image of God?
Yeah, I mean, I even thought about that when you brought up the Great Commission. I think there is some link between what we're talking about here and the Great Commission, but it does beg this question of, okay, God's made us all rulers, but like, not everyone follows God, so how are we doing that? And that goes exactly back to what we see in the fall, right? I mean, God made us in his image, but then all that is broken and marred by sin. So everyone who's descended from Adam, who is everyone, is made in God's image, but we're all, to differing degrees, marked by sin. Some of us follow Jesus and are on the process of sanctification, and some of us aren't, but we still, at that baseline, have worth as a creation of God, and we are deserving of dignity that is befitting, you know, a child of God in that sense. You know, there's two senses we can talk about being child of God. One is that you're just a creation of God. He made you as one of his. And then there's a sense of being brought into the family and salvation. And I've already said too much and gone too far down that road. But really, part of the thing we have to talk about when we talk about Imago Dei is all the implications this has for us socially, right? Yeah. We can no longer look differently down on someone because they have a different skin color or they're from a different socioeconomic status. We have to give everyone the dignity and respect that they deserve because they are made in the image of God. They are an image bearer of God, regardless of how good of a job they may be doing in that department.
Well, I even like thinking of it in the sense, like, even if we were just talking about Christians, we all interpret things differently and run things differently, even within the Big C Church.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to Google like Christian news to see like what pastor like screwed a bunch of things up this week. And so, you know, that's a whole other topic that can kind of be discouraging, but it just goes to show like we all are affected by sin, whether we're a Christian or not.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot.
You like it. You like it.
No, I don't like that. We screw things up with sin. I like the idea and recognizing that, like, my neighbor who's not a Christian and can kind of be rude sometimes, like, I can't think in that mindset because, you know, God did create them in his image. I mean, he...
Well, and I always say over and over again, we're not going to make things political, and we're not. But I think a lot of times what's happening politically can be a good illustration for what we're dealing with now. So if you're an American, you can see right now like this vast divide between the two sides. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think is a good illustration of this is how we always try to dehumanize the other side. We always try to make them like the horrible, despicable, subhuman people because they believe this or they do that. And I'm not saying you have to agree with what they do, but I am saying that if we're Christians, we have to deal with them with some level of recognizing their humanity and recognizing the God in them.
Yeah.
Even when they are doing a really poor job, we still have to be... Civil's not the right word.
Loving. I mean,
that's a great way to put it.
Colossians, is it 13? The verse that's like read at every wedding, which shouldn't necessarily be read at every wedding because I don't think it's the type of love. Anyway, but like love is patient, love is kind. All of those are...
Oh, Corinthians.
Corinthians.
Yeah, First Corinthians, sorry.
I said Colossians, sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Those are all descriptions of who God is. In the way that he loves. And so I think if we're being little image bearers, that's how we should be loving people, whether you're Christian or not.
Sure. So now that we've kind of touched on this idea of sin, let's go back to the let's go back to the genesis of it all. Oh, I see what I did there.
You dork.
I couldn't stand myself before I even said it.
I'll say it. No.
Yeah, you'll punt it up all day long. So let's go back to the fall in Genesis 3. Let's go back to where this whole sin thing happened. And the picture we see there is God living alongside his image bearers, helping them live out, you know, that job in a good way, in the right way. But in the garden, we see this tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as you probably know, the story goes, Adam and Eve see the tree and they interact with the serpent. And the serpent says, God doesn't want you to eat of this tree because he knows if you do, you'll be like God. Now, the trickiness here is that they already are like God. We already know that they're made in the image of God from Genesis chapter 1. But what he's saying is you can become your own gods. You can take this ruling into your own hands and do it the way you would do it. So as they gain the knowledge of good and evil, it's essentially another way of saying they now choose what is right and what is wrong. They no longer live by God's standards, but as they say in another place in Genesis, they do what's right in their own eyes. So this is how sin has messed up this image of God that is baked into us and this job description that God has given us is now instead of functioning by God's rule and by God's character, we've decided to take matters into our own hands and do it the way we want to.
Yeah, I really like viewing it that way because I think it just gives me a better grasp on friends that I have that have like different viewpoints on Christianity, where they aren't necessarily taking the Bible as truth anymore.
Yeah,
just because of the feeling of certain situations or things that you have to deal with. Like there are truths in the Bible that like are just hard to handle because of the society that we're in. Or I don't want to get too political after we just said we don't get political.
No, I mean, I think everyone can kind of feel some of the issues you're pushing on. And that is a big issue for a lot of people. Maybe young Christians, that's how people who listen to this thing, who say, like, I just don't see how God is like that. I don't see how God says this thing is sin, or
yeah,
how God disagrees with this lifestyle or whatever. And that is, if we are directly opposing what's in the Bible, that is a remnant of this act that Adam and Eve did way back in the garden. It's us saying like, that doesn't sound right to me. I know what it seems like God is saying, but I'm not feeling it. And that's hard to come to terms with, especially when all that's wrapped up in relationships with people that we really care about, or like lifelong internal struggles that we've dealt with. But we have to go back to the way God created things to be, right? Like we're supposed to bring heaven down to earth. We're supposed to be light to the earth. And so really we need to rule and reign in a way that God has laid out for us. I mean, really, it's the exact same idea as another place that I wanted to go, which is another place in the Old Testament that we see these words of image and likeness used. So if you go to Exodus 20, and if you know Exodus very well at all, you'll know that's the Ten Commandments. You'll see that there's actually a commandment that involves this being made in the image of God, or at the very least, things that are made in the image and the likeness of God. And that's the commandment to not create idols.
Okay. Yeah. So we're talking about like golden calf and things like that.
Sure. Yeah. So Exodus 20 verse 4 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, earth beneath, water under the earth." So you see those two words, image and likeness, right there in that commandment. And so what does that mean? How is that tied into being made in the image of God? Well, God's telling us not to make idols because you can't represent God with any created thing. You can't represent creator. Sure.
Worship God, don't put something in between.
With creation, sure. And he's already made us in his image. And so to get back to what I was saying, this is that same idea of like, we want to hold things up and worship them instead of God, but he's already made us in his image to worship him, lead like him, love like him as we rule what he's given us.
Okay. Well, this is all making sense, I think. So we're kind of recognizing that being made in the image of God is following these steps or actions that he has prepared for us to go and subdue the earth, have dominion over it.
Make babies.
Make babies, yeah. Even, I don't know. I think I'm done making babies.
I mean, me too. Yeah. He didn't say how much we should multiply, but
that's
we
true.
Did.
That's
some.
True. So we have this whole concept, but then this other concept that, you know, God doesn't want us creating things in place of him. He doesn't want idols. He doesn't want us. He wants us to worship him and not create our own images or rule in our own way, which we end up doing anyway.
Yeah.
So how do we get back? How do we like have this original intention of God creating us to be who we're supposed to be now that we've sinned?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in any conversation of like the grand scheme of the Bible, like you have creation, sin, and now we're to the Jesus part. None of this gets fixed without Jesus. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about how Jesus enters the story. It is giveaway time.
Oh, man. And I'm excited about this. So I don't know about you, but like when I receive a gift or something like that, the heavier it is, the more excited I am. And guys, this is heavy.
I'm not going to lie. This one was heavy. So our good friends over at Phoenix Seminary have hooked us up with something to give to you guys, that is one of you guys. And that is Wayne Grudem's new edition of his Systematic Theology.
Guys, it is beautiful.
It is, man. So if you don't know much about Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, it's a big old book. I suppose you could read it from cover to cover, but it's basically like this encyclopedia of everything you need to know about God and theology in the Bible. Maybe not everything. Like, you should probably read your Bible too, but it's very helpful. Like, when you come across ideas like the things we talk about that kind of trip you up or make you wonder, like, what exactly does this mean? It's a super great resource to have on your shelf to be able to pick it up and see what Wayne, I always call him Wayne. we're not tight or like
buddy,
best
buddy.
Buds. Maybe I should say Dr. Grudem. What Dr. Grudem has written. This thing is used in so many Christian Theology 1 classes across seminaries, probably around the world. And he just released his second edition, which adds a little bit more information, updates a few spots, and looks beautiful.
But wait. Bling, bling, another surprise.
Oh, man.
Guys, when you open up this book, it is signed by Dr. Wayne Grudem himself.
Our boy signed it. I'm so excited. I didn't know he was going to do that, but I'm really glad he did, and I'm really glad that one of you guys is going to be able to get it for free. I mean, free. Yep, you got to do something.
Yeah. So. Here is how you go about getting this book. First, you got to log into Instagram. If you don't have an Instagram, make one. And then hop on over to Bible and Stuff, where you will see a post from us about this Systematic Theology book itself. We want you to like our page. We want you to like Phoenix Seminary's page. Is page the right term when you're talking about Instagram? Well, I'm going to say
we're getting old. We're getting out of the Instagram demographic. But yeah, the instructions are going to be there. You need to like our thing. You need to like Phoenix Seminary's thing because they were so nice to provide us with this copy to give away. And then you need to tag a friend, and that's it. You're entered.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to win a book.
It's going to be amazing. We don't have a lot of followers right now, so you have a very good chance.
That's true.
But no. We are really excited about this. I am ready to give up my old copy to get this new beautiful one. Check it out. Make sure again to like us, like Phoenix Seminary, and tag one of your friends to join in on the excitement of winning this prize.
Seriously. And thanks, Phoenix Seminary, for giving us this copy to give away. I really think one of you guys is going to enjoy it and get a ton of use out of it.
Welcome back from the break. We hope you guys enjoy that exciting news that we got to share. But we're going to hop right back into this and talk about, okay, how do we get back to this place where we are in the full image, restored image of God? Tanner kind of gave the answer away before the break. Jesus is the answer, as always. But let's dig into it a little bit more and try to talk about, like, okay, how do we see him restoring us back into the image of God?
Sure. I felt like it was a better cliffhanger to not say, like, let's set up this question that the answer is obviously Jesus, rather than just be like, it's Jesus, baby. Let's talk about it. So, yeah, you're right. It is Jesus. This is our pathway back to being good rulers like God made us to be. And the way that happens is Jesus enters our broken world. I mean, we all kind of know this. He is himself God, and he comes into this world that's now ruled by sinful men, and he lives among us. And so we've talked about this idea before, but when Jesus starts to build popularity and he starts to get closer to the end of his ministry before he dies, you kind of see this expectation building that Jesus is going to be this new ruler, right? He's going to come and bring in Israel, and he is going to make a kingdom here on earth, which is eventually going to happen, but they didn't realize Jesus was kind of doing the long play. And instead, what you see Jesus doing during his time on earth is he's serving, right? He's not like the kings of the day who are calling themselves God. I mean, he actually is God, and building statues of themselves and oppressing people. Jesus, instead, who actually is rightfully king over this earth and over these people, is washing feet. I mean, he's healing and loving these people that were considered untouchable. He's really serving every step of the way and kind of breaking this notion that a ruler is this strong-armed, high-status person that just tells everyone what to do.
Yeah. And I think this is actually a great place to see examples of what we should be doing as Christians. I think right now in our, at least in America, we hear the word Christians and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, because I think in a lot of cases, Christians are trying to take that holier than thou type position and not leading from a place of serving and not leading in love.
Sure. I mean, we really didn't plan to be political at all, which is fine. Like, let's
sorry.
Like, no. I'm going to I'm going to say something worse than what you said. you're off the hook.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, I keep, even in this podcast, I keep wanting to say, I don't mean to be political, but this isn't political. At least not what I'm saying. Like, it's,
no, for sure.
It's an actual
just biblical.
Yeah.
And it has to apply to our lives, right? If the Bible doesn't apply to our politics, well, then then God isn't ruling our life, right? We're compartmentalizing God out of certain aspects in that, and that's not what we're called to do as Christians. So in some way, I say I don't want to get political because I think we're all just tired of hearing about it, honestly. and I want to avoid the craziness of, you know, speaking what is just blatantly true, but people don't seem to believe anymore, and having to deal with those, you know, the backlash or whatever. Not that we get a ton of that, but even in my day-to-day life, like, I just don't want to bring it up because I want to hide from it. Yeah. But like you said, like, this isn't, we're not talking about Republican or Democrat. We're just talking about, here's how you're a Christian. And a lot of people have lost what it looks like to be a Christian in our country, in our world. I mean, you have these people outside of the Capitol with Jesus signs as they, like, break in and try to, like, hurt people or, like, overthrow government. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing it in the name of Jesus. And, like, that's not how he rolled, right? In fact, Peter cuts this dude's ear off as they're trying to take Jesus to be crucified. And he's like, Peter, put that thing away. Like, that's not what we're doing here, homie. He puts the dude's ear back on. Like, he reaches up and he's like, here you go, homie. Like,
sorry, man.
You're about to take me, but, like, here's your ear. Like, this is not the way of Jesus. So that's our aside, political or not, you know, take it as what you want to. But the whole point is this thing that we're talking about happening a long, long time ago, Jesus coming into the earth and being a servant leader is still applicable, is still something we need to hear, still something we need to learn, even in our day and age.
So that's all good and well. I think this serves as a way, an example for us to follow. Is there more concrete restoration that comes? Because I think we can continue to like work towards that, but we're going to continue to sin and fail.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if we just stopped here, like it's just try hard, I think, is the message we've given so far. Like you should try harder to be like Jesus. But we know that without the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, that there is no way to do that. But there's even a way that we can see how that ties into this thread we're running of the image of God. And that's, you know, Jesus comes and gives this different model of what a leader and what someone who rules and reigns should look like. But he also submits himself to suffer under our poor ruling and reigning, right? Like when Jesus is taken by these people out of the garden, the Gethsemane, he's put into government processes, right? He's put into trial that's not fair. He's put into people like cheering and yelling for him to die instead of this other guy who's very clearly guilty, Barabbas. Like he submits himself to all of that when he doesn't have to, right? He is the one that's actually in control. And instead, he takes all of that and is put to death ultimately to pay for our sin. Right, he pays for our sin through our sin. You know what I mean? And being enacted on him, all of that poor dominion, all of that poor ruling, ultimately Jesus pays the price for it.
And with that price being paid, I think we start to see. Well, first we start to unravel the idea of grace that you know we don't deserve what was given to us because of what he did on the cross. We are fallen. We are still sinful, but he pays that price for us. So I think there is some redemption in that. And we didn't mention this either, but I also think, you know, the Holy Spirit comes into us and dwells in us.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus's death paves the way for us to be justified before God. But, you know, like you said, just a few chapters later, the Holy Spirit's coming down to dwell inside of us. And the whole point of that, it's a lot of theological talk, but it's really kind of the thread that runs through everything we talk about is Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. It allows us to no longer be slaves to sin, no longer be slaves to this thing inside us that is telling us what's right and what's wrong, but instead to look to God and to try to do things the way that he says is right and wrong. And we're not going to be perfect at it, but like you said, there's grace for that. Jesus has already paid for all the bad we're going to do, and that frees us up. His act of love frees us up to try our best and to continue to turn to him when we want to do it our way, but we know we shouldn't.
Yeah. So now I'm setting you up for this, but I mean, we talked earlier about...
If you want to make me look smart,
So Tanner, tell me then, is there a new heaven and a new earth?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's no secret that we kind of know where we're going with this whole thing. And I actually really love these episodes where they all just follow this thread because it's taking a story we're all probably decently familiar with. The story of Jesus and seeing how all these different things flow to him and come out of him. And today we're talking about the image of God, and we get to see that the ultimate culmination of us being God's image bearers and God's rulers is when Jesus, who, you know, last we just saw ascended into heaven, is now going to come back and really bring heaven to earth. We're really going to have this new heavens and this new earth. And that is when Jesus is going to fully and finally enact his rule over the earth, right? He's let this sin stuff go on for long enough. He has saved the people that he's going to save to continue to be his image bearers. And to continue to carry out his rule and reign in the way that he would have us. And yeah, I mean, that's all comes to a culmination in this act of Jesus's return. When we see this new Jerusalem, we see this, everything's made right again. Yeah. What I'm trying to say in the long way is just everything is made right. And we're back in the garden. We're back there right alongside with God, cultivating the way he would have us cultivate, right? Creating the way he would have us create.
This just takes me back to last week talking about heaven and the idea that, like, we don't go to heaven and just, like, it's not like you're outside bathing in the hot sun, like enjoying lemonade. Like, no, we're going to work and continue to live out this idea of, like, subduing the earth and doing it alongside God. And that is just, I get goosebumps when I think about that. Think about heaven in that way as opposed to ways that, you know, we've been taught socially.
Yeah. And I mean, for those of us who are Christians, I think there is this deep longing in us to finally get to a place where we're not broken anymore. Like, I don't know about you, but especially with young kids and, you know, all the stuff we have going on in our everyday lives, like, some days I'm just trying to, or rather most days, I'm just trying to survive. And I really want to lead my family the way God would have me lead my family. And so while I'm continually growing in that and continuing to press into him, it is still really encouraging to know that, like, one day I'm not going to struggle anymore, right? One day God's going to wipe all this ickiness away, all the bad stuff that wells up within me, and we're going to get to serve alongside him perfectly, right? He's going to put us to good use, and we're going to be a lot better than we are now.
Yeah. So I think in conclusion, just to kind of wrap up these thoughts, when we are talking about the image of God, we are talking about having that authority and dominion that he wanted us to have alongside him. But because we're human, we're going to fall short every time in being the perfect image of God. But because of the work that Jesus has done and the grace that he's given us, we can continually work toward being restored until that day when we die and we get to experience all of it coming together.
Sure. Sanctification, baby.
Mm.
All right. That's all we have for this week, guys. Thanks for joining us. As always, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you didn't. Let us know what you want us to talk about next. You can do that in any of those places, or you can email us directly at hello@bibleandstuff.com. If you want to do us a big favor, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show. That really helps us out, really gets us in front of more people to get to continue to talk about cool things like this and help us understand these ideas that maybe we've pretended to actually understand for a while. So thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to check out the giveaway. You're really going to want to get your hands on this new edition of Grudem's Systematic.
Peace out, Girl Scouts.
The Bible and Stuff podcast is a production of Bible and Stuff. We do more than just podcasts, so if you want to know more about something we've covered on the show, just visit our website at BibleandStuff.com. Our show is hosted by Tanner Britt and Glenn Brand, and our theme music is by The Sing Team. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.